listening to Alan James on Circle of White Light Radio and People's Internet Radio, focusing on solutions and thinking different.
Good evening and welcome to Circle of White Light Radio with myself, Alan James. It's the 10th of October 2021. Good evening, everyone. I hope you're enjoying this warm weather, this strange weather anomaly we're having at the moment where it's quite warm considering it's in October. So I can't complain. So I hope everybody's enjoying it. Now, there is talk that maybe, obviously we have Kim on the show later on. I'll go into that. Maybe some tech has been removed and this is why we're having good weather. Anyway, good evening, everyone. Now, the plan of attack for tonight, you know what I originally had Dr. Carrie Maid coming on the show, but she's so busy at the moment that we've had to reschedule. And thanks to Kim for being able to make it to come on the show to get an update from Kim, what's going on as well. And we're going to have a good general chit chat. And we have a lot of questions. This is going to be a Q&A show tonight, really, because we've a lot of questions already being sent in during the week. As soon as I mentioned Kim was coming on the show, all these questions start coming in for Kim. So it'll be a bit of a Q&A night tonight on the show. And we'll be talking about a few of the things that are going on as well, because, you know, this is October and, you know, they're talking about Red October and this is going on. And it's just, I think what their elites are doing is, and I mentioned it to Kim before we went live, that they're obviously throwing everything at us to see what sticks because they're getting desperate. So anyway, we'll get into the subject matter and I'm going to bring Kim in early, actually, because there's a few things on the list I'm going to talk about and I want to get Kim's take on as well. But before we do that, let's find out what the communication channels are.
The communication channels are email, contact us at circleofwhitelight.com, by phone 046-927-1212, or sign up to our newsletter via our website at circleofwhitelight.com.
Okay, folks, you know the website, circleofwhitelight.com, on Patreon, patreon.com/COW. L or and also on PayPal on the website. Sorry, I have so much going around in my head. Also, if you go over to a website called MediaU.net, you will now be able to, if you have a media, not that MediaU.net internet radio, you should be able to hear Circle of White Light on that. I just added that today and I was listening on it and checking it. So if you have an internet radio, you should be able to actually listen to Circle of White Light on that. Right, okay, now before I bring Kim in, just a couple of things I want to give a mention out to, because there's great people doing great things out there and it's worth giving these people a mention. Now, during the week, I was having some issues with my my shoulder muscles, bad posture, unfortunately, sitting down on computers all the time. So it's my own fault. So I paid a visit to one of the men. You know, I'm involved in a local men's shed and one of the men is actually a physiotherapist. So, and he's a member of the shed, which is great. So a big thank you to Raghu, who gave me some treatment during the week. And after one session, I mean, I'm feeling so much better, but I'm going down for another one during the week to just top it up and do a bit more treatment. But a big thank you to Raghu. He is a physiotherapist in Clonmelan, County Westmeath. So if anybody needs some treatment, he's now opening up in his own house in Clonmelan and doing treatments there. He has his own studio there that he can treat people. So if you're anyway in pain, then obviously I suggest contacting Raghu. His website is www.brainspinephysio.com. That's www.brainspinephysio.com. And you can find Raghu there. The other thing I want to obviously mention as well before I bring Kim in is thanks to Liam Norton. Liam is a member of the paid forward team and he's also a member of the Irish Assembly, and we'll be talking about that as well later on the Assembly. And he donated a keyboard towards St. Oliver's School. Now, you probably remember a few months ago, you know that we allocate some funding with donations that come into Circle of White Light. We allocate some of the donations to worthy causes. That's why we call it Pay It Forward. And I have a Pay It Forward team. And if everybody wants to see all the donations that have been made, if you go over to circleofwhitelight.com and click on the menu option, Pay It Forward, you'll see a whole list of donations that were made. So a few months ago, we made the donation to St. Oliver's School in Oldcastle of €1,000 worth of musical equipment, because obviously what the schools are trying to do when it comes to budgeting and funding, they obviously pull the funding for the music department and put it on some other, you know, department, which is probably irrelevant. And it got to the stage where the music teacher was actually using her own money to fund some of the instruments. And I said, no, that's just ridiculous, because music is so important. It's one of the creative arts, obviously. And I'm a musician and an ex-professional musician. So I have a fondness for music. And I spoke to the Pay It Forward team and they all agreed it was a good idea. So we actually donated €1,000 worth of musical equipment to St. Oliver School, and the one thing we didn't get was a keyboard. We didn't have enough funds for the keyboard, and thanks to Liam, who's donated the keyboard, so I went over during the week and gave it to the music teacher, and there's a photo on the website as well if you want to see that, and she was delighted because that adds to all the other instruments that she has. So a big thank you to everybody who donates. It's not down to me. It's not down to the Paid Forward team. It's down to the listeners and the people who donate to Circle of White Light and the Paid Forward appeal, because we can't do anything if we don't have the funds to do it. So a big thank you to all of you who have donated and helped us do what we do with the Paid Forward. Thanks to everyone for doing that. Okay, I'm going to bring Kim in. Everybody, I'm sure, knows Kim, but I'll just give her a quick a readout of a bio. The guardian of the global assets with the highest security clearance in the world at level 74. She's been at the coalface helping to make global changes to help humanity move forward to a better world. Kim is also involved in the Global Restoration Project, along with working with the Life Force team. Good evening, Kim. How are you doing?
Great, Alan. How are you?
Yeah,
good to be back.
Yeah, listen, thanks a lot for coming on and saving the day. That's the second time you've done that. So thank you very much for doing that.
Oh, you're entirely welcome. It's always my pleasure to talk to you.
Brilliant stuff. Thanks. Well, I appreciate you coming on, because you know what? When I mention that you're coming on the show, as I say, during the week, we get loads of questions coming in from people when they realise you're coming on the show. So tonight we're going to have a little bit of a Q&A with the questions that we have, and we'll go through that. And I'm sure there's going to be more questions on the chat room as we through the night as we have a chat. And good evening, everybody in the chat room. Thanks for logging in there. I'm sure we're going to have a good night. Right, so I wanted to bring Kim in early because I have a few things on the list I want to go through, and I wanted Kim to give her opinion on what she knows about what's going on. And so what we'll do is we'll start off, Kim, with the few things on the list, if you don't mind, and we'll shoot away from there.
Absolutely.
Well, before,
ready when you are.
Actually, before I talk about this, how are you? How are you doing with everything going on?
I'm doing good. You know, there's a lot of changes going on. We are pretty much at the end of the battle here, I hope. So, you know, the dark side or the deep state, and the deep state with the dark side, I guess you would say, is doing everything they can to stop us from continuing, I guess, I hate to call it a timeline, but continuing the positive timeline. Therefore, you know, our whole team has been getting a lot of attacks, a lot of psychic attacks, a lot of people yelling and screaming, you know, recently. But other than that, you know, we're doing good.
Brilliant, brilliant. Well, I just say to the people on the chat room, if you do have a question, please put question at the front of it so we can see it straight away and then pick it up. And I can't promise to for Kim to answer all the questions because we might run out of time, but we'll do as much as we can. That's what we'll promise to do that anyway. Right. Okay, let's start off. Now, Facebook went down. I have stuff I've made notes of, Kim, so I'll just read it out anyway, and then you can comment on it. Facebook went down for 6 hours last Monday. I call him Mark Zuckerberger. lost a load of money, as did Facebook, and they're still trying to work out what happened, apparently. But I would be surprised if they admit that they got hacked, as that's, they wouldn't admit it, as that's a bad PR for the company. They'll probably blame some internal error admin issue more than likely. Now, I got a text from my son the other day saying, oh, Facebook has gone down again. Kim, can you shed any light as to, I think it was Facebook and Instagram and WhatsApp. There's a couple of them went down. Do you know what happened there?
I do, actually. So a few months ago, the Azure system, we talked about quite a bit, right? You know, they had all of these companies, all of these banks, you know, including Facebook, social media and everything attached to the Azure system, using that as its data. Everybody was using Azure as their database, right?
Yeah.
Well, more importantly, it was all tied to ID 2020 or the Certificate of Vaccination Identification Program, as it's also named. Well, when they lost access and control over that, they immediately started using these DARPA / HARP sites around the world. And one of their people, DARPA's people, well, not one, there's probably several people involved, had figured out a way to create what we call an etherical, it's not a computer, I would call it a device. And they were put at certain locations around the world. It's called Black Mirror technology, because literally, unlike Project Looking Glass, which was, you know, a lighter color, all of these mirrors were black. So it was basically a window into what you would call the etherical version of hell.
Wow.
And they connected servers and data centers directly to this technology. So when the technology, I would say, went down and the data centers were disconnected, everyone that was involved went down with it. So Bank of America also went down, which is definitely always known as a Jesuit bank. And Cloudflare went down. There were many, many companies that went down at the same time.
Okay, and how many companies are using the Azure system? I mean, is it done used for everything?
The most important thing that it was used for was it tied your medical records, right, to so all, like Epic Systems, all the large providers of medical software and databases directly to your social media and your credit history. And I mean, it basically looked at you as a whole person, and it would issue a social score, almost like a credit score. Mm. And, you know, it tied your bank account to it as well. So, you know, for example, if you were a person that bought, you know, a gallon of alcohol or something like that every day, even though you were using it for some other purpose, they would automatically label you as a lower class citizen. And they were going to grade citizens 1 through 6, and they would determine whether or not you could get a job, whether or not you could have a bank account, whether or not you could be a functioning member of society or not.
Basically, like the Chinese scoring system that they have already. And if you have a friend that has a lower score, that's going to affect your score.
Yep.
On YouTube, there was this they're saying that this is the way they want society to be. The guy rings up for a pizza. I don't know whether you've seen it. And they said, oh, you live in such and such. Your social insurance number is this, and your wife and your kids are this. And he said, well, I want to order this pizza. And they go, oh, yeah, no, your medical records say you have a heart condition, so you can't have that pizza, but we can give you a discount. I mean, literally, they knew everything about the person. And they took they even had his credit card number and they everything. And I thought, you know what? That's the society they want. That's the level of control that they want with the people for them to be able to do that. And obviously, we can't allow that to happen. Okay, I'm going to shoot on to the next one there. On the other thing was, after the Facebook thing, I have, by the way, the word on the street was that the White Hats were testing their kill switch for social media. Is that true? I don't know. Remember, no. Entertain everything, but don't believe anything you hear until you have the evidence. So it wasn't the White Hats testing out a kill switch for that?
No.
Right. Okay. That's fine. Okay. The next thing is the talk about the Pandora Papers. Information of offshore accounts held by presidents, politicians, sports stars, actors being leaked out, over 11,000 pieces of information from 15 countries, apparently. Now, the mainstream media is reporting on this, so that's your first red flag as to why they are doing this. Could this be a false flag or a distraction for something else, especially if the media are reporting on it? You have to question why the media are reporting on it. Are the deep state trying to distract us? Apparently, a Soros-funded group released the papers also. So, how do you feel about Pandora? Have you looked into that? What do you think?
I've looked at it a little bit. Obviously, I haven't read the entire thing. But the thing that I find interesting is, you know, the people we know, you know, obviously, that are in the public eye, that are cabal or whatever you want to call it, aren't in there. They're, none of them are in there. And this happened with the Panama Papers too, right? We expected these people to see these people if it was a true drop. Now, like you and I have discussed, the interesting part is it's being promoted by mainstream media. So from some of the characters that are in there, they all, the one common factor I see in all of them is that they're all considered to be CIA assets. Hmm. Even heads of state, you know, they definitely all seem to be from that same order of the Black Sun or whatever. And they seem to be cleaning house.
Do they have a choice in joining? Or are they told, I mean, they normally, you know, to go to that level, they're normally blackmailed or honeypot or whatever you want to call it to get them to be compliant. So are some of these people, do they know they joined, or is it a case that as soon as they join some organization, they automatically are enrolled in some CIA program or something?
Well, it's typically a bloodline thing, you know. Mm. So like Trump's father was involved. You know, his uncle was part of Project Paperclip. You know, they typically go in succession. Now, then there's the whole agency affiliation, right, globally. The KGB, you know, all of these different organizations were formed as part of the Order of the Black Sun. So is it possible to be let into the organization? I would say yes. Do the majority of them actually know what they're doing when they get there? I would say not all, very few. Mm. The Jesuit order obviously knows what they're a part of. You know, they have a black pope.
Yeah.
So I would say some do and some don't.
Yeah. Because obviously we're looking at over here in Ireland, looking at our politicians. And we know the hierarchical model is all, you know, it's all managed, it's compartmentalized, and it's a need and no basis. And I just look at our politicians over here in Ireland and think, they, you know, do they know what's going on? Are they just naive and are just told, you do this, you do that, and that's it? And they just have a little piece of the jigsaw and, you know, that's how they control it and how they run it. I'd love to know. I mean, down the line, I'm sure we will find out. One of the things that you did a second interview with Kerry Cassidy, and again, you had great information on the show. And one of the things you were mentioning about the seven deadly sins, and this came up in an assembly meeting, the Irish assembly meeting, we were talking about it. And we were saying that the politicians are voted in to represent the people, and you know their role and their job and their responsibility is to do that for the people. So surely with everything that's going on, there has to be some accountability. Not revenge or anything like that, but accountability for their actions. So would that not be classed as being fair to do, have an accountability for what they've done and letting the people down, rather than saying, you know, it's not wrath and it's not revenge, but just accountability?
Well, here's how I personally look at it. You know, my personal opinion. We all know that these people don't go to jail. And if they do go to jail, it's because they went against something that the order did, right?
Yeah.
We all know the court system all over the world is controlled by the crown people.
Yeah.
So, you know, we don't have a fair system in any way, anywhere. Doesn't matter where you are. You know, for a few hundred thousand dollars and, you know, into your wife, their wife's account or spouse's account or whatever, most judges will do whatever you want. And that's the way the system is run forever. So, okay, so let's take that. Now, we all know that people like Epstein and some of the others that have been, quote unquote, thrown in jail, you know, they don't actually stay in jail. They, you know, go to some island somewhere, they get a new identity and off they go, right?
Yeah.
Or they commit suicide purportedly and then they go live their life. So what actually is accountability and how do you do it? Now, is our life going to be any different once the new system is in place, right? Mm-hmm. And we're moving right along with all the assemblies and all of these things. You know, we have our own courts. We don't bother going to theirs anymore. You know, we have our own system with ethics and accountability, right?
Yeah.
Do we really care what they do or where they go? I mean, is our life going to change? Will we feel happier maybe if you see these people going to fake prison for an hour?
Yeah, well, see, we talked about this as well. And we said, you know, you're right. The prison system won't work. But, you know, one of the things that was mentioned was maybe strip them of their assets because they're probably ill-gotten gains anyway and put them in menial jobs where they have affected people. So, you know, work for the homeless and stuff like that, you know, maybe in a pink jumpsuit or something. Because I know there was a governor in Texas a few years ago who felt that the prison service wasn't working. So basically what he did was he said he gave the cons or the criminals an option. He said, you stand outside the place that you tried to rob for, you know, 5 days a week for your period of your sentence in a pink jumpsuit with a sign saying, I robbed this store. I tried to rob this store. Or you go to prison. And, of course, the cons were kind of, yeah, I don't mind going to prison. And then they go to prison after 2 days. They go, okay, we'll stand outside the store. And he said that was a very good incentive to stop the cons from, you know, being caught, well, I won't say being caught, but robbing and reoffending. No, I'm not saying that's the case because some of these people, as we know, are psychopaths and you'll never change them. You know, they won't change ever. But maybe a bit of hard labor, you know, because you can't do the murder thing. I don't think, you know, that's going to work, you know. I think that's going back to the old days. But maybe, I don't know. I mean, answers on the postcard for that one. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, we'd have them standing out in front of, you know, how many million people, Helms, one after the other. I stole from this person.
Yeah.
You know?
They'd be doing the tour, wouldn't they?
Yeah, they'd be doing a tour.
You have to get the t-shirt tour, you know, and have all the, it'd have all the counties of Ireland on it, you know, and the dates they'd be there. You
know? I know, no kidding. It'd be a whole nother version of campaigning.
Yeah.
You know, it'd be almost absurd as, you know, almost a year after the election in the United States, Trump is still doing rallies.
Yeah.
Right? And no one says anything. Everybody's like, oh, this is normal. You know, the next election isn't for another 3 years, right? I'm like, doesn't anybody find this odd?
How is his health?
Oh.
I know you said that he had prostate cancer or something.
He does. It's spread. I know that. He was really rough a few months back. He's managing things with pain medication because there's really not a lot that they can do.
Yeah.
I think he takes a few other medications and whatnot. He refused to, but that's vanity for you, right?
Yeah. And I'm surprised with all the cures out there or potential cures, because we can't say cure, only doctors say cure, but the options that are, could be available to him, and yet he's not taking them.
Yep. He could have. I mean, I'm not even talking about conventional. I mean, someone on his level with access to all these scientists and whatnot, why did he not take any of the options they have?
Yeah, that just amazes me. Again, the answer's on the postcard to that one. Okay, well, listen, the last thing on the list is I got sent this information over from an ex-guest who's in Australia. And she was saying that, she said, New South Wales government just brought in a law that employers mandating the jab are now accountable for any adverse reaction suffered, and they have to pay compensation to the person for the rest of their lives, even if they are not working for them anymore. Now, that's what was sent over to me. But subsequently after that, I listened to an MP down in Australia called Tanya Davis. And she actually came out and said, actually, that's not true. They're not doing that. That's not on the card. So again, a bit of research, check it out. But look up an MP in Australia called Tanya Davis MP. She actually talks about this law. Now, if I am wrong, by all means, email me and tell me I'm wrong. But I did see the video of Tanya reading it out from official government papers. So because that, I mean, I don't think any business would actually agree to that. To actually force the employees to have the jab, and then if there's side effects, they have to be pay for the compensation. No, I think you'd want to be mad to do that. Okay, let's start off with the questions that were sent in, Kim. And
yeah, just on that last note, we have, because they're requiring all businesses in America, or they're trying to. It's not a law; it never passed. But they're basically calling all their corporates, right? The ones that they run. And they're trying to make vaccines mandatory, right? For all employees, or you lose your job. Mm. Now, this is not only in the US, it's going on everywhere, right? Mm. But in the US, it's specifically 100 employees. Well, I know at least one airline where everybody walked out yesterday.
Brilliant.
They all walked out. So one thing that is certain is that it works.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Power to the people. Again, people power, you know.
Yeah.
We all have to stand up and do it. Now, I know over here in Ireland, there's a couple of corporate companies. I think the law was actually brought in over here where a corporate company cannot ask an employee if they've been vaccinated or not, which is a good thing, which means that, you know, they don't go down that line of pushing, making sure that they're all jabbed. And that was a law that was brought in. So that's a good thing. Now, is there a spin on that law? I don't know, because we know what Irish politicians are like. And I don't know whether they're going to change that or put a spin on it. But we do know that the opening up of Ireland should be on the 22nd of October, when most of the issues really regarding to the tier system go. But they've extended the powers to November. So we'll see what happens. Are they going to bring in a fake virus and another virus and scaremonger and say, oh, we were going to let you all out on the 22nd of October, but a new virus has come in. You know, you don't know what's on the cards. I mean, they might do it, you know, because they are trying to throw everything at us. Okay, Kim, let's crack on. Let's get these questions. Now, during the week, as I say, early on the show, when people found out that Kim was coming on the show, the questions were coming in. And this was one of the first questions that came in. So we'll go through it. It says, the chap says, Kim is controversial. Many don't believe a lot of her narrative and label it as scam, which is what I thought at first. However, a great deal of what she communicates makes sense. It fits. What I don't understand is, if she has enforcement armed with advanced tech, why have they not taken steps to infiltrate and take over mainstream media? I realise that it is a complicated proposition, if it is, with retaliation a certain consideration, but as world populations are being maimed and exterminated, why not go for a move that could end this rather quickly? If people were told the truth via what you are accustomed to trusting for news information, for that matter, given the dire straits, couldn't main characters driving this genocide be picked off one by one, including clones and doubles? That would surely be a deterrent to continue. Do you see this stopping without a tangible consequence? Because I don't. Next interview, can these questions please be posted? There you go. There's the question being asked. There you go, Kim.
Okay. Number one, mainstream media is also in part, right? Because we also have an infiltration of the same folks in alt media. You know, where they're pushing certain narratives and they're paid, you know, to push certain narratives. I remember someone that you and I used to speak to all the time was getting, you know, got $5,000, remember?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Remember that person? I won't say who it is.
Yep.
And that being said, it's a lot more complicated than you think. So the NSA runs all of the data centers where their server racks lie. You know, they have quite a large satellite network that they work from. And they also are all agency people. So in the mainstream media, all journalists are agency people. You know, predominantly CIA, Project Mockingbird. You can look that up if you don't know what that is. So it's a little bit more complicated than you think to do something like that. That's number one. That's why we started our own news channel, because, you know, in the best way that we could with what we had to build it with, because we just didn't see, you know, most people these days, you know, like Generation Z, my daughter, you know, they're getting all their news off of TikTok, you know, and some of the other social media.
Yeah.
No one pays attention to the news anymore. And I think it's kind of it's dying off anyway. That's number one. They have to say what they're saying because their sponsors say so. Mm. Right?
Yeah.
So the underlying issue is it's an entire network of agency people. You know, unless you took out an agency, I don't know if you can take out mainstream media. That's just my personal opinion because I've looked into it. You know, there are people on the Trump train that have said, well, we're going to take over mainstream media and da-da-da. And I'm like, you know, the buyout numbers were so ridiculously low. You know, I laughed. You know, these military people that were talking about that. I just said, there's no way.
And of course, yeah. That goes for all media. Even over here in Ireland with RTE, there's probably infiltrators of people in there that are part of the agency or some agency.
Well, everybody knows, you know, if they say if you are traveling as a journalist, you know, and I'm not talking about alt media people that travel and do interviews and whatnot. I'm talking about mainstream. If you're traveling as a journalist, you definitely work for an agency. It's just a matter of which one.
Okay, that's interesting. Yeah.
Yep.
Well, over here we have RTE and they are, you know, they're funded by the government. They're half owned by the government, half semi-state, half private. And we pay a TV license, would you believe? Well, some people do pay a TV license for this rubbish that comes out of RTE, you know, and they say they're impartial. And yeah, right. Okay. Impartial. I have to laugh at that. Okay. Right. Next question. This is from someone else, a different person. What is the situation reference property title as everybody is only a tenant under the maritime system?
Okay. Well, the one thing, like I'm very familiar with a number of alt media people who talk about maritime law and this law and that law and all of this stuff, right?
Yeah.
I'm familiar with it. I see a lot of people even charging money, you know, to tell you how to change your property and change your status and all of this. But the one question, none of them, right? Because I've talked to probably about four or five of them, including Anna. And I'm like, okay, why are you going to their court? Because that court is the slave court, period, end of story. You can call it maritime, admiralty, whatever you want to call it. It doesn't matter because you're going to, you know, their registration. Everything that has a number, including your mortgage, the MERS system, everything that has a number was registered in the ANNA system in Belgium, period, end of story. It is You are not your own property. You are someone else's property underneath draconian law. And draconian law is at the top. Monarch law is next, right? Mm-hmm. And these are Lord Rothschild, you know, the royalty person from China, you know, the emperor, whatever, of the dragon family. Those are all the monarch people. Then you go down to the next rung, right? And then by the time you get to the bottom, this is we are commoner law, right?
Okay.
So the only way to fix it is to actually just create a whole new system.
Yeah.
And that's what we're trying to do, because it's not fair in any way. And we're never going to get anywhere, you know, going to court and talking to them about this law and that law. Those people have no idea what you're talking about, half of them. And the ones that do will just say, we don't care. So.
Plus the fact that, you know, people talk about property title. You need an allodial title anyway, because you don't own your property anyway. It's just the illusion that you own your property, even though you pay a mortgage.
Yep.
And I've explained, I've said this on the show before, that, you know, that's why embassies, you know, they say even the Irish embassy in London, when you go on it, you're going on Irish land, because the embassy has the allodial title. So it's as if you're walking onto Ireland. But over here, you know, for the minion on the street, the peasant on the street, which is us, we can't get the allodial title. We only have a mortgage that we pay, which, you know, we have this impression that we own the property, and we don't. And it's just funny as well. I was talking to Mark Atwood. You know, I interviewed Mark Atwood last week, and to cut a long story short, I met Mark during the week. We actually had a few beers and a good chat and a late night, and we were talking about this, about the whole the laws and property. And I was saying, isn't it funny that, you know, if you go into your back garden and you find a treasure, it's not yours, it belongs to the government. But if you go out to your back garden and you find drugs, it's yours.
So, I know.
So you can't win. Right, okay, next question is, what will happen with probate cases, divorce settlements and wills? I assume that relates to property and maritime law, if changes go on.
Well, with what we're trying to do is we're trying to develop our own system of mediation and change everything completely. Because, like, you know, it's anything with their court, right? I've not been to court for probate, but, you know, I've been to court for, you know, I have a daughter and, you know, with her father a few times and whatnot. You know, that's small potatoes. They don't really care. You know, but when it comes to, like I said, the second it's registered with a court number, you know, it's no longer yours anyway. Hmm. So.
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, there are people out there saying that you should always say property when it comes to children and in court. That's my property. And I know there's been some successful cases won because the word property was used. Which is great. Mm-hmm. But, you know, obviously, if it's quite serious, I'm pretty sure that they will come in loaded guns and make sure that you don't win. And again, I'll just remind people who don't remember a movie that was done by a movie called Personal Services, which was based on Cynthia Payne, who was a madam in the 70s. And all the judges used to go around and they used to have the little menage a trois and everything else. And every time she went to court for being caught being a madam, she'd get off because the judge was one of the guys that were in her little harem. So something to watch. An old boss of mine when I lived in London was a personal friend of Cynthia Payne. That's how I found out about her. So it's interesting. The movie's called Personal Services. If you want to a link to have a look at it, I can send you over a link. Just send me an email at contactus@circlewhitelight.com. Good movie. Okay, right. Next question is, on one of the videos, it was mentioned that everybody had done, had been registered as sovereign. Can this be verified? If true, this changes a lot with regard to courts.
See, you can't be both. See what I'm saying? So we did register it in the Hall of Records, okay? And they are threatening all of the National Archivists not to post anything. And they've actually done that for the last 5 years. So there's very little information about even, you know, it'll say this information is public, but it doesn't say that it's the law. Mm. Right.
Yeah.
So even all throughout this COVID thing, all the stuff that they passed, you know, none of that is actually a thing. Like, it's not actually real. However, you know, how does that affect your life? If you were to take your employer to court, they'd say, well, we have there's a federal mandate or whatever that we have to enforce, right? And a mandate's not a law either. But, okay, so it is registered in the Hall of Records, right? The slavery curse was broken, I guess you would say. Now, how does that change your life? If you're going to go take that information and go to a regular court, you're going back into the slave system to try to tell the slave owners that you're not a slave anymore.
Okay, so how do you avoid? You said just don't go into their court, but surely if they send out warrants for you and arrest you and stuff, I think people would be concerned about that.
Well, yes, what I'm saying is that she said that if you go into court, it changes everything. Mm. Well, it really changes nothing right now.
Yeah.
Now, if you land in court for this, you know, for something that you've done or purportedly have done, because there's a lot of innocent people in jail, right?
Yeah.
For nothing. So it doesn't change anything. That's what I'm trying to say. Mm. We're trying to create a whole new system that works for the people. It's going to take time. It's not easy. It's a lot of hard work and a lot of hours from a lot of people within our team, right?
Yeah.
And new people coming every day. So these people work tirelessly to try to do this. Their system does not function at all. I mean, the police force, for example, in the southern half of America, was actually created in order to keep the slaves in line. Wow. And in the north, it was the immigrants from certain locations, right? If you're from here, you're a lesser human. You know, it didn't matter what color your skin was. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's no different anywhere else in the world. These agencies were all created by the Black Sun. Mm. You know, to them were the slaves.
Yeah. Yeah, I like the analogy where if you have the slave owner on the plantation, and the slaves who are working in the house are treated with a higher level of respect, but they're threatened that if they don't do what they're told, they'll end up being sent out to the plantation. So if you think about the police being the slaves in the house, and as long as the police do the job for their masters, then they don't get sent out to the plantation. And it's just a simple analogy, but I mean, you know, it applies. And so the police have to kind of do what they do. And you're right. Mandatory guidelines, mandates, they're all not legal. You know, it's not the law. And I think, mandatory is the one you say, oh, this is mandatory. No, that doesn't mean it's legal. It's just, you know, it's optional. Right. Okay. Next question is, this is from this person. What is the position with the banks and depositors' money? If she has full control of the system, are the bail-in laws now moot, not relevant?
I have control over the back system and the issuance of new allocations of currencies, right?
Yeah.
We are working every day to get control over the front system. That's the system you see.
Yeah. Okay. And I believe you mentioned with Kerry when you did the second interview, something that people might not be aware of, but you've mentioned super notes. Do you want to just give a quick description of what they are?
Okay. Super notes have been around since the late 70s, when during the Cold War, Iran had a Heidelberg press to print United States dollars. And they partnered with the Russians and did a massive overprint of United States dollars. Well, on your notes of any currency, it doesn't matter where you are and what you're, they all have a serial number on them, right?
Yeah.
Now there's some ink and it's printed in the paper. It's in the, you know, whatever. There's nanobots in the paper, in the ink and whatnot that makes the currency valid. But the serial number is very important. Okay. Mm. So you only have one bill in circulation that has, you know, A1234567, right? Whatever the number is.
Yeah.
Well, when you print supernotes, or when they would print supernotes, then you have 5 1234567s. See what I mean?
Yeah.
Now, for the most part, the people that were in control of the system years ago, because Bush printed, I know Bush, when he was the Black Dragon of North America or head of the Black Sun of North America, he printed $27 trillion in pallets and pallets of supernotes, duplicates, right?
Yeah,
and they would use them to entice.
That's forgery, yeah?
Yes, that would be called, fraud.
Yeah.
However, they're called supernotes when it's done on government paper with government ink and duplicated serial numbers. So the key here is the only thing they don't have is new serial numbers.
Yeah.
But for all intents and purposes, it registers the same. Now, our system, the new, when the key integrated monetary system went into play a couple years ago, it now recognizes that it's fraud and it rejects it. As an example, recently, only a few months back, Trump managed to get a hold of some of these pallets of cash, right? When the natives were getting restless, you know, Team Trump, the military guys and the agency guys and whatever that are all waiting for him to fund, he started handing out supernotes. And half the agency guys, you know, it was fraud. The bank called the police. You know, some of those people got arrested. Of course, the big generals and whatnot tried to deposit as well. You know, that's not only in the U.S., it's all over the world.
Okay, so tell me if I'm wrong with this. Does people have an understanding that the Rockefellers and Rothschilds are trillionaires? But we know recently that they've had paintings and land sell-offs because they said, oh, they can just print whatever, but they might have the plates, but they don't have the codes, to serial numbers to make it legal tender. Is that true?
That is correct. And digital money also is registered the same way. So if you have 500 pounds or whatever in your account, right?
Yeah.
Then you'll actually, each 100 pound note or whatever will have a serial number.
Okay. Even on the digital side, that's interesting.
Yes. Yes. It's the way it's indexed. So, you know, you're familiar with that, you know, because of the work you do.
Yeah.
But yes. So when, if you were to transfer 100 pounds from your account to someone else's account, it doesn't say the number 100 on there. It says serial number, you know, A124567 or whatever it is.
Oh, very good. Okay. I wasn't aware of that, but that's good to know. So for people who keep saying, oh, the Rockefeller and Rothschilds are trillionaires and they have loads of money, they might have the plates, but they can't print it because they still need the serial codes, the proper serial codes, which Kim has control of, correct?
Yeah, it would be a new allocation number that they would need. And that allocation is relevant to every denomination, digital or otherwise.
Okay, that's cool. Well, that clarifies that. Okay, so yeah. we have a new question from a different user. I have my IT head on, a listener. On Sunday night, can you ask Kim about her thoughts on the local property tax that we all have to pay based on the valuations of our home? So basically over here in Ireland, they forced us to pay property tax. Well, again, some people pay it and some people don't. Because you have to remember, folks, that a property is a commercial building and your house under the Constitution in Ireland is a dwelling. And as a dwelling and a family home, you shouldn't be paying property tax because property is commercial. So over here, what they're trying to do is big up the prices of the house. So the more expensive the house, the more money they can get from property tax. This is what they're trying to do over here in Ireland. Mm-hmm. So the question...
They're doing it over here too.
Oh, okay, so they're obviously... Again, is it because they don't have any money and they're trying all different things?
Yep.
Okay. And that includes the pensions, because over here they keep saying we don't have enough money for the pensions. And I keep saying to myself in my head, well, why don't you use the money instead of giving away to maybe the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers, or wherever the money goes offshore? Why don't you just keep the money and use it for the country? But yeah, that's not going to happen. So, So, thoughts on local property tax on the pay based valuation. So, yeah, so your thoughts are basically that's what they're trying to do. They're going to increase the house prices so they can get more money for the property tax.
Yep, they're doing it here. I just got a notice, I don't think it was a few days ago, and there was an article in the newspaper that the tax assessor office is now going to come door to door and do an inspection and look to see if you've done any improvements or anything else to the home.
Right. Okay.
Yep.
Well, folks, if that happens over in Ireland, all you have to say is your implied right of access has been revoked. You are now trespassing on my property. And if you don't leave, I will use reasonable force to remove you from it. And then good day, close the door and don't give them your name. That's how you get rid of them people. Okay, next question is, do we have to pay property tax, or do we have to pay tax? Property tax is a service you get from your local council. Yeah, I pay my bin rubbish collection privately, and I'm on a private water scheme, which I pay to the local water scheme. My local council gives me no service, therefore very unfair tax. I hope Kim agrees with me.
Well, they don't, the original reason purportedly, right, for property tax was not just those services. It was also supposed to go to your local school board, your local schools. It was also supposed to, you know, your free public education. It was also supposed to go to the police department, the fire department, right, in case you ever need those services. Road repairs and all of the other things you do. You may own the house, right, purportedly. Mm. But you don't own the sidewalk and you don't own the road in front of it. Mm. And those things need to be maintained. So it doesn't just go – this is what it was supposed to be used for, right?
Yeah.
So it makes sense when you think about it like that. It should be called something different, probably community tax or something, and it shouldn't be based on the amount of your home necessarily, right? Mm.
And it should be allocated to the community, so you know transparency where it's going.
That's right. If you remember long ago, some blonde lady mentioned to THI about collecting $1,
yep,
right? And to a 501, mm, so it's tax deductible. Mm. And then you all vote how that dollar is spent. Mm. You can do more, you could do less. And then at least you have some control over your taxes, right?
Yeah.
Because you're going to pay it to the government or you're going to pay it to a charity. You know, it doesn't matter. It's no skin off your nose. Mm. And you could go to the maximum amount of your, you know, per your accountant or whoever does your taxes, the maximum amount allowed. And if you did that, then it would be tax diversion, right?
Yeah.
And you would have now control over how much tax you pay.
Yeah.
Now, not necessarily property tax, but at least income tax. Mm. At least it would give you something. And that was the whole purpose behind that all those years ago.
Yeah. Well, it's something that I'd still like to do over here with the Circle of White Light. Again, I've said to people before, €1 a month. If we had 10,000 people doing that, then we could really, you know, start helping each other and just bypass the government. You know, I think people are still looking for the savior program, or they're looking for people to do all the work while they sit back. It's the little red hen principle, as I call it. And unfortunately, that's society. And there's always going to be a handful of people who'll do most of the work to get the change put in place. I think we'll have to just accept that, because there's other people who won't get involved. Or, you know, you'll always find people that if they're not interested, they'll find a way or an excuse why not to do it, rather than looking for a reason to do it. And that's why, you know, we obviously, there's a handful of us tend to do an awful lot of work on the outsides of doing shows and stuff like that, because, you know, there's only a few of us doing it. But, you know, hopefully we only need about, I think it's 33% is the number, something like that, for the, you know, for us to get things done anyway. So we'll see how we get on anyway. Also on that question, they said, also my elderly friends and younger people cannot afford this tax on top of rising costs. Of course, you know, it, they have no money and they're trying to go after the pensioners. I think over here in Ireland, there's some TD turned around and said, do you want to tax the pension? And you think, hang on a minute, we've been working all our lives. That pension is for us. You know, we seem to be, they just want to put tax on everything because, but yeah, that's all they seem to do. They seem to just tax us and try and remove our freedoms. That's all politicians seem to be able to do. They cannot think outside the box. Well, then again, they're not told to think outside the box. They're not told, they're not capable of fixing the problem because they don't want to fix the problem. They like it. They like the status quo because it suits them.
And even if they're not, right? They're visited on the day that they are elected, and they're told exactly what they're going to do and not do, including the president of the United States.
Mm. Yeah, I heard that story. I think it was Obama, when Obama went in. But then again, he was selected anyway, but I think they just clarified it to him on the day. Okay, we had I think it was a lastminute.com question that came in, Kim, and so I'll just read this one out. Question for Kim, what does she think about it if this is really going to be implemented? Will life force enforcement be involved to enforce it? I'm not too sure what she means. My question to Kim, what she thinks about it and if this is really going to be implemented? Will life force be involved to enforce it? The general question, I'm not too sure what that relates to, but basically I think it's going to be got to do with the enforcement side. And I know you touched base with it on Kerry's show about if the whole idea, now's the time, I suppose, we can talk about the assemblies, because the whole idea of assemblies, and we have an Irish assembly set up, is to be ratified so we become the official de jure group in the country, who we can have some level of control over the laws. That's what my kind of thinking of it anyway. And what we're trying to do, obviously, is do the official documentation and go down the proper route required by yourself and the Life Force team to make us legit. And then, obviously, when that is done, then hopefully we can start looking at certain laws that we can either bring in or we can remove. Do you want to just give us an update on the assemblies and how things are going with that and any progress that has been made with them?
Well, it's definitely picking up steam. I think we've got at least 26 national assemblies registered, and there's well over 100, local, county, and provincial, and state assemblies all forming around the world in many time zones. So it's going well. It's kind of like you said, Alan, you'll bring in 10 people and two will get all the work done of the 10. So it's, we're slowly getting more 2x2s, right?
Yeah.
So that's working out well. We are registering things within the Hall of Records. We are launching the People's Consortium of Member States, the Global Peace and Restoration Consortium of Member States. That website should be available soon, and there's a space on there to talk about the initiatives. It's basically that is registered and ratified in the Hall of Records, and it's the replacement for the United Nations. So that's going very well. So it's kind of a completely different way of looking at everyone coming together for common purposes, right? So, yeah, we have a COVID relief program that we should be able to start very soon in the coming days. We have a, I'm pretty sure we can probably do that by the end of the month. We have Life Force Assurance that's going very well. Most of the assemblies also have a global health and wellness member on them as well that's working with the global team. So, yeah, it's going really, really well. The ratifying, the registering, the Hall of Records, we also have our own because in, like, for example, the United States, they haven't even posted military records in the National Archives. Okay. In 5 years. So what we've done is we created our own National Archive website. People could go and see everything that's been ratified and records and all of that. So we can just keep moving forward. We put out some orders from the Global Health and Wellness team that all the assemblies agreed upon. And we have that has been ratified, those three orders regarding how illegal it is of, you know, to do this and to that in relation to the pandemic, right?
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that. Sorry, finish what you're saying. Go and say there.
Yep. And all the assemblies have been very busy. This is globally gathering email lists of all their local school boards and police departments and employers that are trying to force vaccinate people, because that's the opposite is listed in those orders too. The GIA is going to be sending out an email, and there will be enforcement. I'll just leave it at that at this moment. But there will be enforcement if they do not comply with those three orders.
Okay, because the topic that that question related to was from October 20th, the COVID pass and vaccination will be abolished on the entire territory of the EU. This is what the question was. And the question was, does she think it's really going to be implemented, and will this be enforced? So this is just over in the EU. Apparently the COVID pass and vaccination will be abolished. Is that something that you've done with Lisa and your team, or is that just going to happen?
Well, the protests are going on everywhere. Nobody wants it. You know, they're killing businesses, you know, especially the tourist industry, right?
Yeah.
Airlines, everybody's going out of business. So people would just rather not travel than get a jab.
Yeah, totally.
And they've proven that. Mm. Okay. Now, on top of all that, you add to the fact that now they're trying to make it mandatory for employers. So to keep your job, you have to get a jab. That's not going over very well. That one airline that protested, where they all walked out, the FAA here in the United States all went out, walked off the job yesterday, I think it was, proving no one wants it. Now, further, this was tied to those the Black Mirror tech. Let's just call it hell in a box, right? The Black Mirror technology, where they can actually control. See, people think that, you know, there's, oh, look at graphene oxide and whatnot. No, these are actually computers. It's called the Architecture Cooperation for Heterogeneous Online Systems, or ARCON. So the cabal, when they were not getting any more archons from the dark side because it was blocked, they started getting these archons. They started making archons. The program was I hate to say it's Elon Musk, because Elon Musk doesn't create any of the technologies that he does. He's just the spokesperson, like Stephen Hawking was. But the Neuralink technology – that's exactly what they're injecting into you, and that's exactly what they're shedding on you, and that's exactly what they're now starting to put in the food, because no one will take it anyway.
Yeah. Is there any way that you can check Have you come up with a test or know of a test that somebody can do in themselves to make sure that that stuff is not inside them? Now, I know you said chances are we all have it because they've been doing it for years anyway in food and stuff. So,
yeah.
But I'm sure you're probably looking at this and trying to look at technology that will remove if anything's there anyway.
That's exactly what we're doing. Mm. Now, the shelf life of the older version, the Alien Tech, right, was around 2 to 4 years, and then they would be inactive.
Yeah.
The shelf life – this is the same thing as Morgellons, right?
Yeah.
That's the old – that's the same thing. Same, same. Now, on the new one, that's why they came out with you have to keep getting boosters.
Yeah, and the boosters only have a 3-month lifespan. So there you go. We go back to remember what I said to you about the antivirus. Get your update, get your update, get your update, because that's a perpetual license to print money.
Well, it's not a, actually, they get bonds right now, which becomes an asset, right? So that's the issue, is that they keep every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, some date in astrology in alignment with the new moon or whatever the hell's going on in their mind that gives them this crazy system power. You know, they are promising governments now even that they're going to cash those bonds in, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the COVID bonds were issued in 2017, 2 years before we started this mess. But as of March, they can't leverage them at the banks, and the money magic system, money magic credit system for them, is gone.
Yeah.
So they're busy just sucking the last bit of liquidity out of the system.
Well, this is what I'm saying about the perpetual licensing. And what I mean by that is, if they keep pushing, you know, the saying that you need a booster and people will fall for it, so the governments would have to, you know, they'd be forced to buy the booster, and then the people would have to go along and get it. And this is the whole thing. It's just them trying to make money by pushing the booster onto the governments and forcing them to pay for it.
Yeah, in part, right, which is us paying for it anyway in the form of taxes that they keep raising. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
And raising the price of everything that's produced by their companies and their farms and their this and their that, right?
Yeah.
So, and their big grocery stores and whatever else. So it's all, you don't keep any of your money anyway. It's an illusion. People always focus on taxes. But when you think about your paycheck, right? Take out all the taxes and everything, right? Now you've got so much left. Now, how many items have you purchased from one of their corporations? You know, how much tax do you pay when you go to the store? You know, how many shirts have you bought from, you know, one of their manufacturers, their shoes, the Nikes, the this, the that, right? All the brand names that we all have, we all like, right? Yeah. Amazon, you know, I mean, if you're not buying it there, you know, you're buying it at the store, you're buying, you know, I mean, it all goes back to them anyway.
Well, this is
it's an illusion.
Yeah. Well, I love the analogy, what I heard, which is a great idea. So you have this, imagine they have a mining company in Australia. And of course, the guys are down there, they're working in the mining company and they're getting paid a salary. And the mining company says, how can we get that money back off the miners that were paying for their labor? Well, what we'll do is we'll set up a small town and we'll set up a shop and we'll have a bar there where they can go in, get drinks, restaurant, they'll have ladies of the night there and everything else. So they're getting paid for working all day, and then they go over and get their dinner and their food and entertainment and everything else, and the money goes back into the company.
Yep.
You know, so yeah, so you don't really have it really in one hand and out the other. Right. Okay. Let's move on. Let's have another, say, lastminute.com question that came in. And I don't know whether you'll know this, Kim, but if you don't know it, that's fine. If you do, great. It's something that I was told by someone, and I've no verification on this whatsoever. So I'm just going to put the question out there. So the question is, question for Kim, does she have any knowledge of Irish politicians being arrested by the Irish Army?
This is the story that they're selling everywhere, right? They're selling the story in America, you know. Oh, politicians are being arrested tomorrow.
Tomorrow game, yeah.
Yeah. And you know, there's a restaurant over here in America. It's called Joe's Crab Shack, I think it's called, and they sell seafood and whatnot. The reason why I'm bringing it up is because there's a sign out front on every single one of them that says "Free crabs tomorrow," and the sign never changes.
Yeah.
That's, you know, the people that are reporting that these people are being arrested. I have seen several people be pulled in, talked to, right? They squeal like a pig, they get information, and then they let them go, bracelet or otherwise.
Yeah.
And then nothing ever happens, and it's never made public. That's it. I know that Nancy Pelosi's $90 million account in America was frozen. I know for a fact of other countries where the politicians' money was frozen. You know, but most of the time it's not in our favor.
Yeah.
It's done because they're not complying with the World Health Organization standards or whatever it is.
Is it, could this be just part of a bigger jigsaw that they have been warned and the bracelets go on, but for they're not ready to bring them in, but they're just giving them telling them that we know about you, we know what you've done, you've been arrested, but carry on with your life as is, but we'll be back for you. And because there's a bigger picture going on, is that possible?
No.
No. Okay.
Nope. I'll tell you why. Military people follow orders, right? They're picking up who they're told to pick up. The militaries of the world all report to the Order of the Black Sun in some way, shape, or form, mostly Jesuits, right?
Yeah.
There's no way that they're going to get orders to pick up people that are a part of the program. You know, the transhumanism program and whatnot that they're doing. It's not in our favor. And you know, that's the first thing. The second thing is everybody's waiting for someone else to do something, yet nobody's doing nothing.
Yeah.
Okay? You know, I've had many people tell me, you know, like there was a comment that was made by, let's say, an internet person who says that he was a Navy SEAL and says that he was in the military, and then he went on to work for the CIA, right?
Yeah.
And then on to work with Blackwater or something or other. You know, and this guy said, well, you know, you can't say that these operations aren't going on unless you're ready to be in the field with me, right?
Yeah.
And I'd love to go. Sign me up. Where are we going? You know,
Yeah.
I've been there.
Yeah.
You know, not for an agency or a government, but on my own, I've been in situations like this, run across all kinds of guys like this. You know, it's like those, remember these starving children in Africa commercials in America? You remember, what was that guy's name? This was back in the 80s, right? In America, they would show these, I don't know if they did in England as well. You know, it was every other commercial was, you know, starving children.
Yeah.
Somewhere else, right?
Yeah.
And then you remember the big evangelists like Billy Graham and all those people,
Yeah. Yeah.
you know, and they get on TV and I don't know, I don't know if you have your version over there in Ireland or elsewhere, but they get on TV and they talk about, you know, collecting money for starving children in Africa, right?
Yeah, we have loads of them over here, and it's not just the starving children. They'll have, you know, we need 3 euros for your to save the crabs and whatever, or to save the mongoose, and you know,
Yeah.
I mean, they're literally looking for money because obviously they're desperate, and that money obviously doesn't go to, I'll say speculation, but I know Ian Crane did a lot of research with these charities, and the money, he found out that the money wasn't going there.
Well, the same thing applies here, right? So think about it, okay? So they never do, they're starving children right now, I would say probably within a few kilometers of every single person listening to this call, no matter what country you're listening from. Okay? I'm sure of it, you know, and sadly enough, but I am sure, especially with the rising cost of food and the lowering of, you know, the food subsidies and whatnot that we're giving out and all of these things and people losing their jobs and no jab, no job, and or you lost your job because the company went out of business because they were had to be shut down for a whole year or whatever it is. You know, think about it. Okay, why do they never do anything at home? Like right down the street, you know, like from their studio even,
Yeah.
you know, where they're broadcasting this stuff from. You know, there's a reason for that. You know.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. I mean, this has been going on for such a long time. I remember relatives that are, you know, passed away now, and they, when they, one of my relatives, John, he died a good few years ago, but he came over to to the UK, I think, in the 1930s, and he said even then they were looking to it. And we over here in Ireland, we had a the Trogra books. Most of us, I don't know whether they do it these days, but years ago in school, we were given the Trogra box, and that was the collect the money at home for the children in Africa, and you put your pennies in, and then, you know, when you had enough in, you'd bring it into school and you'd pass it on. And that was something that was done years ago. I mean, people my age will remember the Trogra box. And they never solved the problem. And I was thinking the other day, you know, if you get Richard Branson and Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos and their extreme wealth between the three of them, how many problems would be solved globally?
Oh, well, get this, right? So, everybody's talking about Starlink, right? Well, that was connected to this black box system, right? Intended to control you. But meanwhile, the Starlink system, I know for sure, in UK and Europe was siphoning money out of people's bank accounts all over the place. Once it was connected to the banking system through this system, they were siphoning money out left and right everywhere. Because it was connected to your whole system. So, that being said, okay, Elon Musk recently announced that he's making $350 million a day.
That's incredible.
$350 million a day. And that ain't selling electric cars. So, think about it.
Yeah.
I mean, how much is that? I mean, that's a what, $1 trillion a year, right? Something like that. I don't even know. I didn't calculate it out. It's hundreds of billions, that's for sure.
It's just figures that are just unbelievable. And yet,
I know.
these people could easily solve a large number of issues in the world and still have loads of money left.
I know.
You
That's
know.
true. It's got to be over $1 trillion a year.
Yeah.
I'm sure of it. I didn't calculate it out, but you know, no one makes that kind of money unless you're stealing it, like Rothschild. So,
Okay.
anyway.
Well, okay. We've got a load of questions that we have to fly through, so let's fly through them. The second question is, a major banking group in Ireland, Bank of Ireland, has closed many branches, forcing people to bank online. Okay for some, but not for the elderly. How soon before a new banking system comes in, QFS, and stops all these money-hungry bankers?
Well, we are working on it. For every time that we try to connect, they bump us out, and then there's a new system they've got on their end of it, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know about you, but I prefer not to bank with a bank that is tied to something that I can only describe as hell in a box. You know,
It's
it's like a
very
it's black
difficult.
antimatter, etherical goo, black goo, basically. So anyway, the point is that they are trying to figure out a way to go all digital social credity on us, right? And then we won't have money anymore. We'll have only social credits and all of this stuff. So I do understand what they're doing. I don't think it'll work. Like you said, it's not just the elderly. I mean, we've got two continents that neither one of them want to put money in a bank anywhere.
And it's very
So.
hard. They've made it very, very hard to actually work in society without a bank. I mean, it's doable, but it's difficult. It can be difficult at times because I looked into it and I was trying to find a way around it, you know. And yeah, I mean, you know, We'll have to see. We'll work on it anyway. Okay, next question is, how much off-planet help are we getting in our current fight against evil?
We're getting a fair amount. I'd say a decent amount. More others that are resident here, I would say, would be helping us a lot more than, you know, people that are not here.
Yeah. Okay. There's only so much that you can say as well, so that's understandable. But it's good that we are getting some kind of help, because it's this prime directive, which obviously doesn't apply to the negative side, but seems to apply to the positive side. I think I mentioned it before. Why can't they do something if the negative side are using advanced tech to cause problems? You know, the Starlink system and the issues with the frequencies and stuff like that, and using this tech to affect us. Surely the good guys off planet would come in and go, hang on, that's unfair advantage.
Well, pretty much everything they were given was always missing a piece anyway. Hmm. Clearly them trying to reinvent the Archon operating system in humans, right? Hmm. Clearly they screwed it up, because, you know, if the old tech had a 2 to 4 year, you know, lifespan, you know, and now the new tech only has 3 months, right? Or 6 months, or whatever they're saying these days. Clearly they must have messed it up, right?
Yeah.
They're going to have to constantly be reinfecting you. Constantly.
Yeah. Well, that's okay. So I was going to say, that's one of the questions we're going to be talking about. Go ahead.
Yeah. So I would say that what they've done is they pulled together all the scientists, all the thinkers, put them under their umbrella to create technologies only for them. I would say that they were afforded certain types of technology and sent down the wrong road constantly. Mm. Now, everything that they could have used for the good, they've used for bad. And they were pretty much cut off by about 1998 of getting real information once everybody figured it out. Additionally, we do have superior tech too, right?
Yeah.
And we have frequency machines, and we have all kinds of things on our side. And we have used a lot of those frequencies to reverse a lot of damage out on all levels of matter. And, you know, also to take out things that we don't need to have, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, the only difference is there's a whole lot of them, you know, and there's me.
Yeah.
But at least now we have Life Force and we have all of you, right?
Yeah.
So the more we unite, the more we come together, the more we share, the more we – even just ideas sometimes, right?
Yeah.
Leads us to find something else they're doing to us. So, you know?
Brainstorming, getting together, talking about what's going on. Swapping ideas. You know, maybe we should have, and it's just an idea I'm just thinking of off the top of the head, a UN, but for Life Force. So a representative in each country. But somebody from each country.
We do, and that'll be made up from the assemblies, right?
Yeah.
And it is the Global Peace and Restoration Consortium of Member States. Fully ratified, ready to go.
Okay, cool. Okay, well,
yep.
We look forward to hearing more about that on your show. Okay, I'm going to quick fire these questions off to you because I'm watching the time. You have to do your show later, yeah?
No, we did it on Friday.
Oh, okay. So you have a few minutes extra, yeah?
Sure.
Okay. It's okay because I know you're busy, but I have a few questions here. But look, we'll get through as many as we can, yeah?
Okay.
Okay. These are just the questions from the listeners on the chat room at the moment. So the first one is from Emma, and she said, question for Kim. You mentioned that you're working on removing parasites, both earthic and physical. Could you explain how this works, and does this mean that the parasites currently residing in human bodies will also be removed as a side effect, or will each person still have to follow health protocols to remove them? Thanks, Kim.
Well, we are working on it. We have found... Okay, so we've chatted a little bit about the biofeedback machine and what it does, right?
Yeah.
So everything has a frequency that's optimal and the exact opposite.
Yeah.
So we, because they are basically silica-based, how do you say it, computer systems, you know, we just are, we're being very, very careful when it comes to humans and using frequencies. So because we have found many, many dead man switches on some of this tech, on the alien tech, not on their tech, their tech's, you know, whatever. But so we are trying to find a way around it. Now to flush them completely from your system, probably will require some kind of a heavy metal detoxing or something like that.
And what's the situation with the med bed? Have you heard anything more about that?
No, I'm aware of them. I know that the others have them there. I don't think even if we brought them places. You'd be surprised though, too. It's an etherical level. It affects all levels of matter within your person, right? Mm. Your vessel. And it does it with a machine. The funny part about this is that you can actually do it yourself. You can be your own med bed.
Okay.
If you really understood how to affect all of those levels of matter with various frequencies and bringing that light into your body. And we can talk about that again too. But the machine, the body's actually – you're actually doing the healing subconsciously with a med bed anyway. I mean, it looks all kinds of fantastic and whatnot, but you're capable of doing it yourself. It's only a matter of learning.
Yeah.
That's why I've been doing a lot of interviews and stuff with Penny Kelly, and I hope to do one with her this week. But she's, you know, she teaches classes on how to use plasma and consciousness. And from, cause she's a scientist, she worked in a lab and she really understands it. Mm. So she's really good at teaching people how to do this, but you can be your own. But if you need a machine, you know, hopefully we can get those developed some point in the near future.
Well, yeah, no, if we can do it ourselves and learn how to do it, that would be great, you know. And it's, again, probably knowledge that was taken away from us purposely, so we don't have the ability to do that. But it'd be great. Yep. Down the line, I think we should do a show and talk about that and try and get into how we do it and empower people by doing it, because that's one of the biggest things, is that the health of the people, the health of the nation, the health of the planet, if we can do that and heal ourselves, you know, so that would be good. Okay, next question from Boko, and he wants to know, question, Marburg virus, is this the next big one?
Can you say that one more time?
Yeah,
what is he calling it?
It's called the Marburg virus, M-A-R-B-U-R-G. There was a guy on a video I seen on Facebook, and he was...
Oh, I saw that. Through the course of this pandemic, we have had a black plague outbreak in squirrels in Mongolia, and then one case in Colorado, purportedly. And then we had... several other, you know, we're on Delta Lambda Lambda Mu or something now.
Yeah.
You know,
I call it the Icky Wacky 5000 virus strain, and yeah,
You know, and there was another one too, and I was trying to remember what it was. It was another virus they started talking about as well, that was coming. Oh, we went to Ebola again. Remember, we had Ebola outbreaks again and, you know, whatnot. So there have been 23 cases of Marburg's in all of existence, right? Uh-huh. Since its detection in 1960-something, uh-huh. I think it was. I could be wrong. But since that time, there have been 23 confirmed cases and nobody died.
Uh-huh. There you go. See, again, switch off the TV, folks. Don't be listening to the media. I'm sure you're not listening to the media, but don't listen to it. You know, it's all fear. It's all fear porn. That's the whole idea. I just get on and do what you need to do.
That's globally. And I think all of them were on the African continent, all 23.
Yeah, exactly. It's just fear. People need to just switch off and not be listening to the media and stuff like that. Okay, another question.
We're always all going to die, aren't we, Alan?
Oh, yeah, of course.
We're going to all going to die. For planet Nibiru is going to crash into us. We're all going to die. You know, the Earth's pole shift is going to flip. We're all going to die.
And then
there's a new one out now, too, that – in about 1.5 billion years, the Earth will no longer have oxygen, therefore not be able to sustain life anymore.
Yeah, but give us your money to pay the taxes to try and fix the problem. Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Always give me your money. I feel like Bob Geldof. Give me your money now for the Live Aid. Right, Boko wants to know, okay, I'm going to fly through these questions if we can, because there is a few here. Obviously, the question that will probably be on people's thoughts as well, and he just wants to know, is there any sign of, you know, the trust and the funds coming out for the projects? But as you said earlier, you did answer it. You said that obviously the system is more convoluted than what people realize, and you have achieved so much, but there's still blockages that they're putting in place.
Well, and we did find these archons too, you know, within the banking system, of course, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's fair enough. Okay. It'll happen when it happens and when these blockages are cleared. So, you know, we just have to be patient. Right. Question 18. 18 Bank of Ireland closed their doors last week. Is this the start of the financial crash? So 18 branches of Bank of Ireland closed their doors. So,
right.
That's a concern.
Mm. Well, there's been a lot of branches of different banks closing the doors over here too, in the U.S. and in many other countries. Here's what I see going on. There's a push and pull that's happening. I had a message passed to me, and I want to say it was about 2012, 2013, and it came from the Rothschild family, a member of the Rothschild family, and they said that we are going to crash. First, it was just the U.S., right? Mm. We're going to crash the United States and buy it back for pennies on the dollar. Okay? Yeah. End quote. So apparently they understood at that time even that they didn't have control. It's all about control and power.
Yeah.
So the only reason why they are now have switched from just the U.S. to the entire planet, basically, because they want it for free. Now, they won't do that unless they can control the monetary system. What comes next? So that's my personal opinion. They won't do it until they can completely control the monetary system. Mean the means of exchange between all us slave people.
Yeah.
And their mind.
Mm-hmm. You know, we must be getting – I mean, we know they're throwing everything at us and seeing what sticks. I mean, are we – well, actually, that's going to be one of the questions, so let me get to that down the line. Okay, next question from Steve. He wants to know, did Facebook shut down so they could delete files, etc., or are they going to say it was a hack so they need to send some more information?
Well, they're certainly not going to tell you that Facebook moved all of its databases over to an etherical system run by, for lack of a better term, Lucifer, so that we could connect it to a social crediting system. And that's called ID 2020, right? or COVID ID system. And so we can control everything that you do, right?
Yeah.
So which is connected to a tiny little computer system we just injected into your person.
Yeah.
So they're certainly not going to tell you the truth. Well, when that system went down, it's now the second one that we've burned.
Yeah.
When that system went down, what's next?
It's kind of like whack-a-mole, isn't it?
It is like whack-a-mole.
You know, they try to bring something up and you hit them and, I don't know. And they just don't get it or lost the plot or they just want control. And it's psychopaths, just unbelievable. Okay, Tash wants to know, question for Kim. Hi, Kim. On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the most likely, what number are we on the likelihood, obviously, of, you know, how are we getting on with what's going on in the world?
Well, what's going on?
Well, you know, are we winning, or, you know, from 1 to 10, what would you put us on as a number, just as a guess?
I feel like we've already won. You know, nothing they do works. Every operation they run fails. You know, we always find it, even if it's just in the nick of time. And sometimes it's some of you that find it or connect the dots, put the pieces of the puzzle together. But remember, you know, the world isn't going to run itself. So let's just say we have 8 billion people now in charge of the planet, right?
Yeah.
You know, that means you've got to do your part too.
Yeah, well, see, this is the thing. I keep talking about energy, givers and takers and the whole lot, and people, the takers don't want to use the energy, or they're waiting on the savior program and stuff like that. And it's frustrating because I know I'm involved with a local men's shed, and it was said to me by another person from the shed. They said, when you look at men's sheds, even though you might have members in there, it could be 10 or 20 members, there's always only two or three who are the drivers of the shed. Who push it, who do all the work or most of the work, and the rest of the men are members, but they're two or three people are the people that do it. And that's true at the moment. You know, my shed, there's four of us at the moment that are constantly down there doing work and trying to get things sorted. So, which is good. It's great. But I mean, that's, you know, that's life, I suppose. It's not, I'm not being picky or anything. I think it's just life. You know, you'll always get your drivers out of a group of people who'll be involved and get things done. That's why I like the time banking system, because it's all about you only get out what you put in. Okay, PIR Slim Boy wants to know, question, is Kim aware of the three corporations that own everything, all the big corps we know, like Pepsi, Coke, McDonald's, etc., are all owned by three major corporations? Does she know who they are?
I know that. You can, we actually did this once. I call them the corporates, right?
Yeah.
Now, the corporates were all birthed out of the agencies. So every CEO of every agency everywhere, you know, it's like every company, I apologize, comes from an agency. Hmm. You know, the Koch brothers or Black Sun, that's spelled K-O-C-H.
Yeah.
Right? Hmm. Soros is Black Sun. We know that. Ted Turner is Black Sun. And that's not just Pepsi Coke. I mean, you can trace them all the way back to the same place, no matter which international corporation you're talking about. Microsoft, Black Sun. Dole, Black Sun. You know, I mean, they're all – it's under Bush's non-compete plan that they started launching in 1975. I mean, before that – you know, Standard Oil was a monopoly owned by Rockefeller. Hmm. You know, and this isn't just in the US, this is everywhere.
And of course, you know, people don't get to that level without being having some kind of tie in somewhere, or being signed up, or being blackmailed, or whatever. There must be a level of the ladder you get to where you become on the radar. You show up on the radar, and that's when they approach it and say, right, if you don't do this, you know, this is what's going to happen. Is
yep.
That okay? That just confirms it, because you know it does go on. You know, people need to be aware of that. It's all part of the system. Okay, Shane wants to know, question: how many people have to die before they stop enforcing the vaccines?
All of them, if they had their way.
Mm. Well, it is a depopulation agenda, isn't it? So.
Well, yeah. I mean, they don't care. I mean, if they lose a few slaves along the way, it doesn't matter. You know. Even per the Georgia Guidestones or whatever, that supposedly some alien race had determination that we're only supposed to have, what, 500 million people on the planet?
Mm.
So, yeah, if you lose a few along the way, they don't care.
Yeah.
You know, that's before they stop forcing. That's a joke.
Mm. And it's and I heard, and I haven't got this clarified, but apparently just some companies...
Just before I lose my train of thought, I'll tell you, it's not a question of how many people have to die. It's how many people have to stand up before they can't enforce it. We need a workforce. People, you know, you need to recognize your own power.
Mm.
Together, and this is, I've been saying this forever, this is not a cabal, one world order thing. This is just a common sense thing. You know, if everybody walked out of Coca-Cola tomorrow, if they decided to force vaccinate all their employees, if every single one walked out tomorrow and did not go to work and said they're not coming back to work, they couldn't hire a workforce fast enough.
Yeah.
You know?
It's always been people power. We just have to realize that we have the power.
Well, and heck, I mean, government employees. I mean, these people have the best, like, amount of days off a year and all that, and you know, stocked up time off, vacation pay. I mean, they get more vacation than most corporations offer. If everybody just got together, did not go to work in protest against those vaccines, it's not like you're going to lose any pay.
Yeah.
You know, that's when they'll stop.
Yeah. People need, but the problem is that if the percentage of employees actually agree with the vaccine or the experimental drug and think, oh yeah, and they swallow the BS and go for the fear, then trying to get the percentage of, trying to get staff members or employees to leave en masse is difficult. I think what this airline did in the US is very good.
Yeah, my numbers, and based on what I'm seeing in the real number world, 80% do not agree.
Yeah.
And you know, the ones that got up and decided they were going to go get it was somewhere around, you know, 20% of the world's population.
Yeah, my brother-in-law who's on the chat there, Liam, he said he was watching the video all about the calculations, and he said if they made a vaccine, I don't have the figures in front of me, but if they made a vaccine every second, it would still take something like 30 or 40 years to vaccinate everybody on the planet. So they're lying to us.
Oh my God. And then you need two of them, right?
Yeah.
And then you need more than two. You need, you know, so on top of all that, right? Now that they've started making it mandatory, there are a lot of people, in order to save their job, that got it unwillingly, right?
Yeah.
They would not have gotten it if they were not forced. Even then, we're still at only like 35%.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, again, we need to expose and it needs to get out there, and that's really what it's all about. Okay, I have another couple of questions for you there. I'm just watching the time. Critical Alley, a question for Kim. The people within her organization vetted in any way, surely the Black Sun faction would default to infiltration, divide and conquer, and agent provocateurs. So basically she's just referring to your life force assemblies. What's your procedure if, you know, for people? Do you have any checking in place?
When it comes to the GIA, we do. We definitely vet those people. But when it comes to the assemblies, right, it is abundantly clear and obvious when someone is not getting anything done. and is trying to block you from getting anything done.
Or bringing the group in a different direction.
Or trying to bring the group. Well, and most of the time, people that have joined assemblies anyway, they want a better country. They want a better nation, right? Mm. And they really want to do the work. Some of the people want to go back to the same control structures, and some of them become an officer so they can become a dictator, right?
Yep.
And then, yes, you have shills.
And you have to, you know, and obviously, you know, just people coming in and they might have certain attitudes, egos to deal with. And, you know, it's all part and parcel. And one of the things that myself and Liam have done before in the past is talk about dealing with these issues, child mind, adult mind, stuff like that, because that all kind mm-hmm. of ties in, you know?
Yeah. And so you really can kind of spot these people. Like we're very thankful for the Viking. Right, George, a lot of you have heard us talk about that because what he's done to Crystal, who used to be, you know, the I guess you would say government service kind of help in the assemblies, and what he's done to a number of other people, including someone who was a friend of mine that I knew long before this started, is he's taken the non-doers of the world, and I call it the STD division.
okay.
It's, you know, shite talking division because that's all they do is they sit around all day gaslighting everyone, looking for anything that I say or do or Tang says or do or whatever that could possibly even remotely be misconstrued. And that's what they do all day. So they've taken all those people out of the assembly for us. So the ones that are left are actually getting some stuff done, which we call – that's why we – the acronym for the people's – Government Service Division is GSD, which can also be Get Shite Done.
Okay, very good. Okay, well, I tell you what, I've one more question left because I'm just watching the time. And it's a question from some guy in the chat room called Liam Torrance. Do you know this chap?
You know, I've heard that name before.
Have you? Yeah, sounds familiar. Somewhere. All right. Well, Mr.
I think it was from your show. Didn't we do a show together?
That's right. I think, just vaguely, I think. I think he's not Irish anyway. But the question is here from Mr. Torrance is, what are Kim's insights for the rest of 2021 and 2022?
Oh, thanks. I'm glad that was a short question.
That wasn't my question.
Okay, one thing I know for sure is that I highly doubt we're going to see a president change in the U.S. before the next election. So I know people are looking for Trump to come back. I don't see that happening. I think that we're going to have to build a new system, a new way of banking, a new way of doing things completely. I do not see these people turning around at all. I think that if we were to fast forward another year, they'll still be reporting the RV is going to happen tomorrow, the GCR or whatever they're calling it. I think that the people within the order will still be trying to invent a new computer system called the QFS, which will, of course, be ready tomorrow. Mm. You know, I don't think anything's going to change in this world unless we do it.
Yeah,
I really don't.
We have to get up and do it. We just have to do it. And there's not enough of us. We need more people to get up and start taking action and not saying, sure, what can you do? Because that's just a copy. What we should be saying is, what can we do? I mean, I remember in the corporate world, there was, you know, when you ask people to do something and the negative was, sure, what can you do? Or I can't do that, rather than saying, how can I do it? Because one's a negative, one's a positive. And that's what we should be doing. But if you don't want to do it, you'll come up with an excuse or a reason not to do it. And some people have a problem for every solution, as we say. So we're looking for the doers. Yep. We're looking for the people to take the energy and get things done. Well, Kim, we've reached that time. A big thank you for coming on. Thank you for jumping in and coming on the show and answering all them questions. I hope all the listeners got their question answered or an idea of what's going on. This is a massive, massive, massive jigsaw with so many divisions and alleyways and, you know, rabbit holes and God knows what going on. And Kim is just, you know, doing an incredible job with her team over there and trying to get it done. But it's not going to happen overnight, folks. And the more people who jump on board and get stuck in and get involved, the quicker it's going to be a better planet for us. We all need to get involved and action things. But Kim, I'm going to let you have the last word. And if you want to put out all your contacts and information out there and let people know where they can find you and all about the news channel and Life Force and everything else.
Okay. You know, the more people, like you said, we need as many little red hens as we can get, right?
Yeah.
We need as many people that are ready to come forward and really work for yourselves, mm-hmm. right? For each other. If humanity is going to change, if the planet is going to change for humanity, it is up to us. You know, don't buy into the fear that they keep trying to push out. It lowers your frequency and it lowers the frequency of the planet. It's important. Instead, try manifesting things of your own. Remember, the universe doesn't recognize I don't want. It only hears I don't, you know, I want whatever it is you're focusing on. So be careful how you do that. If you're looking to find us, we do have our own version of whatever you want to call Facebook. It's called GForce.network. You can find your assemblies on there. You can reach out to others as well if you want to get more involved. Remember, please, that this is a war. We are fighting an enemy that sees us as food, cattle, and slaves. So but they're very powerful and they've been in control for a long time. You know, that's what one thing I want to let everybody know, because, you know, a lot of times we get people that join the assemblies and they get so focused on like a logo or, you know, whatever, something small and minute that isn't going to protect us or change things. You can also find us at unitednetwork.news. We do the news every single day there as well. So that's where you can find us.
Brilliant stuff. Kim, thanks a lot for coming on. Much appreciated. Just stay with me there. And we're going to go off to a musical break. Now, I know people don't like Bono, and I know he's one of the corporate shills. But Kim played this song. Which wasn't really U2, it was Bono and The Edge featuring a keyboard player, and the song was very good. You played it on the news channel, Kim, with Tank, and I thought that's a song I'm going to get because it's very good. It's the lyrics, it's what it's, the message is saying rather than who sings it. So we are the people who we are waiting for, so that's the one I'm going to play. So Kim, just stay with me there for a few minutes and we'll be back after this.
You're listening to Alan James on Circle of White Light Radio and People's Internet Radio.
There you go. It's a kind of quick rendition of that song, but it kind of answers the questions there. Thanks to everybody who logged into the chat room. Loads of questions, loads of information there being passed around, everybody chatting there. So fantastic. And thanks to Kim for coming on and answering all the questions, like a Q&A tonight, you know. And so I'll leave you with all that information. Again, thanks for logging in. I'll say, just say something, an incident that happened today. You know, on the rare occasion I go out for a meal with the family when we can. And we went out today, and obviously the place that we went had a segregation area for the people who are not vaccinated. You know, I was tempted to ask for a discrimination burger, but I don't think they had that one. But when you go into the restaurant, they do ask you to put your name and your phone number down for this tracking. And, you know, I'm not really a big fan of that at all. So the name, which my son gave me, said he was telling me about The Simpsons. And I said, oh, yeah, okay. So the guy asked me the name that I, you know, for my name to put down the book. And I said, Drew Peacock. And I gave him a number, which obviously wasn't going to work. But if you say it fast, Think about it. Say them two words fast, and then you'll get the idea what it means. It's, I think it's from a Simpsons sketch. Say them two words quickly. Okay, for myself, have a great week. Stay safe. And hopefully the weather stays the way it is, nice and warm. Hope you enjoyed the show. Next week on the show, I have a lady called Tarot by Janine. She does a lot of video work on YouTube, all about tarot cards. I want to kind of find out about tarot cards because I've had readings before with tarot cards and whatever was said never really transpired. So I'm a bit of a skeptic. So it'd be good to kind of speak to her and find out why or her thoughts are on the tarot cards and or her investment in time and everything else. But there you go. Okay, right. For myself, hope you enjoyed the show. Take care and we'll see you next week. Bye bye.
You have been listening to Circle of White Light Radio on CircleofWhiteLight.com, focusing on solutions and thinking different.